to the book of Psalm. We told you this morning, Psalm 96. Psalm 96 is actually some have given it the name of the missionary psalm. And as we look at this psalm this evening, you're going to find that why they named it the missionary psalm, why the characteristic of it is very clear, that it talks about missions and talks about the need for all of us as Christians to be missionaries. So we're going to look at the whole psalm, Psalm 96, verses 1 through 13. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 13 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. And Lord, the great opportunities that You give us each and every day. Lord, I ask that You be with us now as we look at these verses in this passage. Pray that Your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. And Lord, I pray that You would bring conviction on hearts where conviction is needed this evening. Pray that You would help me, Lord, to be a clean and empty vessel for You to use. We ask these things in Your wonderful name. Amen. We have a duty as Christians. We have a responsibility. And with any kind of duty, with any kind of responsibility, there has to be some sort of motivation to that. You know, why do we go to work every day? Why do we, you know, do certain things at church? There's got to be something that keeps us doing it, something that gives us hope, something that causes us to do it in the right way, in the right direction. The motivation for us as Christians should be our salvation. We should have great joy and peace and happiness because of all that Christ has done for us. If you really realize all that Christ has done for you in salvation, there wouldn't be any problem serving God. There wouldn't be any problem doing the things that God wants us to do. You know, I found that as time goes by, as we get farther and farther away from salvation, many times we forget about what God has done for us. It kind of just goes by the wayside. There's not the joy, the happiness, the excitement that we once had when we got saved. But it shouldn't be like that. We need to have the heart that David had. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" David was looking forward to that time that he could be in the presence of God, that he could stand at His feet. But you know, we can be in the presence of God each and every day. We have the Holy Spirit living with us inside of us, and we can have that fellowship with Christ. Salvation is a relationship. It's not just something that keeps us out of hell. And too often, that's all we think. We just think, oh yeah, I'll get saved and then I won't have to go spend eternity in hell anymore. But salvation is the start of a relationship with Christ, with God as our Savior. And we need to keep that fresh. We need to keep that new each and every day. Do you thirst after God? Do you long for that relationship, for that time together with Him each and every day? Or does it become a ritual to you? Just something that you know you have to do each and every day to be a good Christian. That's not what it's all about. We should desire that free, that sweet fellowship with Him. And that's what's going to keep us going. That's what's going to keep us doing what God wants us to do. But too often we just rush through the day. We do our devotions in the morning, and then that's the last time we think about God. But God should be a part of each and every minute of our lives. And we should desire that fellowship, constantly be thinking about Him. These verses, verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 96, they speak about a new song. In these two verses, three different times, it talks about a new song. We sing a new song when we sing praises to God. Right, not too long ago, a few minutes ago, we were singing praises to God when we sing songs. But we also sing praises to God when we tell people about Jesus Christ. When we tell people of God's mercy, of God's love, of God's grace, and of what God has done for us, we are singing praises to God. And this should be a part of our everyday life. This is what happens when we live the life that God wants us to live, when we witness the way that God wants us to witness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new life in Christ. Our old life, the life that we used to live before we got saved, was a life that we only concentrated on ourselves. We concentrated on the things of this world, what the world could give us. But our new life in Christ is other focused. Our new life in Christ is focused on serving God. That's what it should be anyway. This new life, this new song that it talks about here is different than the songs of the world. You know, before I got saved later on in life. I was a licensed Southern Baptist pastor, actually, before I even got saved. And we would go to church all the time. We were in the church. We raised our kids in the church every Sunday, every Wednesday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening church, Wednesday evening. This was all before I got saved, even. We were always in church. But I can remember as I sang from those hymn books. I don't know if you have a hymn book here. As I sang from the hymn books, as we sang from the hymn books, I would say, boy, these are old songs. These are boring songs. I don't know. They're just not very good. They don't get me excited. They need to pep these up. But then I got saved. And then these songs, these old songs became new songs. They were alive, they were refreshing, they were exciting to me because they talked about my Savior and what He had done for me. These are the new songs that David talks about. Before we got saved, or before I got saved, I was a licensed Southern Baptist. I was the youth pastor of the church. And we would go, the church, they like to go to CCM music concerts and stuff like that. So we would go to different concerts like that. And there was a group named New Song. That was the group's name. But they had it all wrong. They said, you know, we got to pep up these hymn songs and make them alive. But they were killing them. They were taking worldly songs. Songs that my old man used to love. And they were putting Christian words to them. And they were calling them new songs. But that's not right. Because our old nature loved those songs. That's part of our old nature. That's part of our old man. But that passed away. We are new creatures in Christ. And these are the new songs that we should be singing and enjoying. They're the ones that God wants us to love and look forward to and sing praises to His name. The world doesn't need CCM music. They can get that. That's really confusing for them. They don't understand that. Actually, my wife's brother, once I was listening to CCM music, he goes, "That sounds just like the world." Right. And it does. That caught my attention when he said that. But those are all old songs. We need the new song. Verse 2, back in verse 90, or chapter 96, verse 2, talks about a never-ending task that we have as Christians. It says, "Day unto day, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day." We need to be telling people about Jesus Christ each and every day. Every day of our lives. From the day that we trust Christ as our personal Savior, till the day that Christ takes us home to be with Him. There's no retirement in Christianity. There's no time in your life where you can say, "Well, I've taught Sunday school for 20 years. I've been a deacon for 30 years. I've done this for so many years. It's time that somebody else does that." No. We are to be serving the Lord each and every day of our lives. Verse 2 also talks about us showing forth His praise. In the Greek Septuagint is a translation of the Hebrew. It translates this "show forth" into preaching the good news. If you look the same word, the same Greek word in the Old Testament that the Greek Septuagint translates here, if you look for it in the New Testament, it's "preach the good news." In English, we would say "to evangelize." Now, how many of you are evangelists? How many of you have the gift of an evangelist? Probably not too many of you. Maybe some of you do have the gift of an evangelist. But each and every person, each and every Christian has the ability, has the capability, and has the responsibility to evangelize. Each one of us are to tell others about Jesus Christ. Each one of you have, if you're saved, you have a testimony to share with others. And God brings people into your life for that reason. God didn't bring those people into pastor's life. God didn't bring those people into my life. God brought those people into your life for you to give the gospel out. Verse 3 talks about us being able to tell all nations. Verse 3, "declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people." So we need to be telling other people about Jesus Christ. And we need to be reaching the lost for Christ. And that's such a pleasure. That's such a great joy to see people trust Christ as your Savior. One of the men here shared a testimony of him seeing people led to the Lord. And that's almost as exciting as you getting saved, is to see somebody else getting saved. And that's an opportunity that God gives us to be able to take part in that. Verse 3 also says it needs to be among all people. And this is where it can become difficult to give the gospel to all people. Obviously, you as an individual, there's 7 billion people, over 7 billion people in the world today. There's no way you as a human being can reach 7 billion people for Christ. I don't think there's enough seconds in your lifetime for you to be able to do that. Let alone knowing every language that there is and being able to go to every single place that there is in the world. You cannot do that. That's impossible. But that's why you have missionaries. That's why you give to missions, is so that you can reach the world for Jesus Christ. But putting money in the offering plate is not the fulfillment of the Great Commission. There's more to that, more to the Great Commission than that. Each one of us individually have a responsibility to reach those that God wants us to reach. Not just reaching those that are convenient for us to reach. You know, the problem is that a lot of times people go to where they want to go, and then they say, okay, God, now that I'm here, what do you want me to do? And we think that's a noble thing. We think that's a good thing, but that's a little bit backwards. Instead of asking God, what do you want me to do now that I'm here? We need to be asking God, where do you want me to go first? And then after that, what do you want me to do? See, I believe there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians in the world today that they go to church all the time. They tithe like they're supposed to tithe. They do all the things that they're supposed to do, but they're outside of the will of God because they're not where God wants them to be. They want what's convenient for them. You know, I go where the job is. And then I buy a house or whatever, and then I do, now that I'm here, then I do whatever God wants me to do. What you need to do is you need to, and I'd like to challenge you tonight with this, what you need to do is, first of all, get everything else out of your mind. Don't worry about your house. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about your family. And then ask God, God, where do you want me to be? If God wants you in Oak Creek, praise the Lord. He might. But are you sure about that? If I were to ask you right now, if God were to ask you right now to go to Siberia, would you go? You say, no, it's too cold there. Plus, what about my family? I got to take care of my family. If God were to ask you to go to Cambodia right now, would you go? Say, no, the food there is terrible and I have a house here and a job here. No, we have to be servants of God. We're slaves of God. God brought us with a price. We don't have the right to tell God where we want to go. A slave didn't say, oh, master, I don't want to work in this field today. I want to work over there. No. The master told the slave where to work, and he worked there, and he did what the master told him to do. But too many times we think we're the master. We try to dictate to God what we want to do and how we want to do it, when we want to do it. So I challenge you today, tonight, maybe pray about this in your own life. Pray about where God wants you to go. And there's no excuse. You can't say, I don't have an education. I don't have this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get the money. I don't know how, my family's going to do in that kind of a situation. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. That's a step of faith. That's what Christianity is all about, is walking by faith, following what God wants you to do, not worrying about other things. Are you where God wants you to be right now? You need to ask God to show you that for you to know for sure. There's a sacrifice that's required. Verses 7 through 9 says, chapter 96, verses 7 through 9 says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness before Him all the earth. God has given us so much. God has given us salvation. God provides for us each and every day. If we're walking with the Lord, God gives us peace and joy. But God does expect us to give back. There's a sacrifice that needs to be made on our part. And we as Christians need to be willing to do that. And again, God owns us. We belong to Him. We're not our own, for we were bought with a price. The last couple of verses, verses 10 through 13, talk about a deadline. It says, "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For the Lord cometh, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." God is coming to judge the earth. God is coming to judge you and me. Maybe there's someone in here this evening that you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You say, "But I come to church, I've been baptized." No, there needs to be a day in your life where you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again. As I gave my testimony already, I was a licensed Southern Baptist pastor. I was a deacon in the church, the youth pastor of the church. I was tithing all the time. And I remember the pastor, he would get up and he would preach the gospel. And I would go home that evening wondering where I was going to spend eternity at. Maybe you're in that situation this evening. Maybe you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. I thought, wow, I'm wasting all this time. I'm wasting all this money. If I'm not going to heaven and I'm going to spend eternity in hell. I didn't know I was going to hell, but I didn't know I was going to heaven. Because there was never a day in my life where I trusted Christ as my Savior. I knew God. I knew who God was. I knew who Jesus Christ was. I was teaching from God's Word. But I didn't know Christ personally. I never trusted Him by faith to take away my sins. If you've never done that before, Christ is going to come to judge the earth. And you're going to be judged for your sins. There's only two verdicts that God gives. Justified by the blood of the Lamb, or guilty, spending eternity in hell. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to trust Him today. For those of you who are saved, Christ is coming to judge the earth. You will be judged just like the lost, at a different judgment, at a different time, for different reasons. But you will be judged. You will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And you will be judged for what you have done for the Lord. From the time that you trusted Christ to the time that Christ takes you home, you will be judged for what you've done for Him. Now, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to be when we stand there. The Bible talks about us receiving crowns for what we have done. And I can't imagine us walking around with four or five crowns on our head. I can't imagine that. That seems to me like it would be something that would be very prideful. What I think is going to happen is we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to be given crowns and in humility and in recognition for all that Christ has done for us. Because it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of Christ, that we have done anything that deserve these crowns. And we're going to take these crowns and lay them at the feet of Christ. That's what I think is going to happen. But there are going to be Christians that are going to get up there and everything that they have is going to be burned up. Everything that they've done for the Lord is going to be taken away. Because everything that they've done for themselves. They've done for their own needs, for their own desires. What was convenient for them? What was comfortable for them? What kind of a person or what kind of a situation will you find yourself in at the judgment seat of Christ? You know, God never gives us something that we can't do. God expects us to do things, and there are things that we can do. But there are things that many of us don't want to do, or they're not convenient for us to do. Judgment is coming for both the lost and the saved. Judgment is coming in your life. Judgment is coming for your friends, for your neighbors, for your co-workers, for your family members. Judgment is coming. Are you ready? Judgment is coming. We're going to someday stand at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved today, and you will be judged for what you've done. And it's not going to be a great day for most Christians, I'm afraid. We think going to heaven is going to be great, and it's going to be great to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, but I think there's going to be a fear. The Bible tells us there's going to be a fear for many Christians when we stand there and are judged. There's going to be a fear recognizing that we have not done what we should have been doing. We have not been faithful in serving our God. The only thing we've been faithful to is to ourselves. We've been faithful to make sure that we've been happy. We've been faithful to make sure that our needs are taken care of. But we haven't been faithful in serving our Lord and our Master. We've been more concerned about our own desires, our own needs, our own wants, not caring that the world around us is lost and dying and going to hell. What kind of a judgment are you going to experience when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Are you going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Oh, that will be joy to be able to stand there and hear the Lord say that. I pray that I will be one of those who will hear that. Or will you, or will I, have to stand there with our heads bowed in shame and embarrassment, knowing that we haven't given our all to the Lord, not wanting to look into the eyes of the one who died for us? Judgment is coming. Are you ready? I hope so. Let's pray.